Delphi and Carroll County have collectively known grief. In February 2022, the people buried two deputies killed in a car wreck. 5 years ago, a family, a community, a state, and a country buried two teenage girls murdered in the woods.
Of all places, Delphi's one of the safest places, and now to think something could have happened here in our own town, it's scary.
Their story may have been told across the country, but it was felt most closely in Delphi.
It's so sad. I feel terrible for them. I feel terrible for the whole family. It's an awful thing.
And the killer or killers hasn't been caught.
We cannot allow evil to prevail. Our world is completely out of balance, and we cannot allow that to prevail.
You still don't know many facts about the murders.
I'm not at liberty to give that information out as of this time.
Who found them?
I'm not going to say at this point in time.
And you still don't know what state police or the Carroll County Sheriff's Department believe motivated the killer. What you will know after hearing this is what may be motivating several years of silence from the people who are investigating the Delphi murders.
These people usually follow a pattern. The serial killers like us will follow a pattern, and they'll do it often all over the country. They'll travel from one spot to another to find victims.
And why proper police procedure doesn't always lead to an instantaneous arrest, or sometimes not even close.
Make sure they know where their children are at, what their children are doing, to know what's going on in their lives.
I'm Chris Davis. You're listening to The Delphi Murders, 5 years later. The Monon High Bridge is an abandoned railroad bridge in Carroll County. It's surrounded by acres of woods and trails. It's 70 feet high over Deer Creek. It's a place that people in and around Delphi enjoyed and enjoy. But 5 years ago, its rustic look with its old cross ties and gaps where you can see the water below became known across the country. It's the bridge where Liberty German's last picture was taken, a Snapchat pic showing her friend Abby walking the bridge. It's also the place where her last video was taken, and that video provided police with a picture and sound of the girl's killer. Since then, thousands of tips have come into state police and the Carroll County Sheriff's Office. Reward money totaling over $325,000 has been offered, and several people who all may have seemed like suspects have been arrested, but not for the murders. No one has been caught and charged with the crime. No one is being held accountable for the murder of two teenage girls. And for the last 2 years, Indiana State Police have declined to be interviewed about the case. Speculation and intrigue have led to hundreds of social media posts and attempts to clear up the photos and propose alternate sketches, scenarios, and profiles. So far, it's all gone nowhere. Back to the morning of February 13, 2017. Abby Williams had spent the night at her best friend's house. They'd had pizza and watched movies, and they were ready to go walk the trails.
It was just a normal day. I just said goodbye, and then I left them, and I'd see them when I got home.
Kelsey German, Libby's sister, who dropped them off near the Monon High Bridge on the Dr. Phil show.
My son, who was picking Libby up, called me and said she's not answering the phone. Uh-huh. And that was at 3:30, so my daughter and I both kept calling and messaging and texting Libby, and there was no answer.
Becky Patty from the same program.
So it was just about 4 o'clock, I called my husband at work and said, Libby's not answering her phone. They're out at the trails. There's something wrong.
If you can, imagine your kids just doing what they do. You drop them off at a familiar place with a designated pickup time, and then they don't answer and don't show up to meet you. That's the scenario that the Germans were faced with.
We probably figured that maybe they fell or got hurt or something, maybe that they just couldn't, or lost her phone. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they fell and the phone came out of her hand or something and mm-hmm. couldn't answer. So we were just looking for them laying somewhere.
Becky's husband, Mike, decided they couldn't wait any longer, and they got law enforcement involved.
A little after 5, I called the police. Okay. We'd been searching as a family, couldn't find anything.
and thought, okay, it's going to start getting dark. Let's get the police involved here. And they immediately came out in force, started walking the trails with us looking for the girls.
By 6 p.m., neighbors and friends had joined in the search, covering the area around the Monon High Bridge.
Most of the town was out. People were out all over the streets of Delphi, flashlights, walking, just groups and hundreds of people seemed to be coming out to help us look.
People split up and went through each finger of that trail system.
By the next morning, the girls still hadn't been found. It was now February 14th, and 13-year-old Abigail and 14-year-old Liberty had been missing all night. The next morning, Indiana State Police joined the search.
Is to thank all the communities around Delphi and the people here in Delphi for assisting in attempting to locate these the two young children that were missing earlier.
At a news conference held on the afternoon of the 14th, that was revealed that two bodies had been found in the woods.
Has the search been called off?
Not officially, because we have not positively identified the bodies at this point in time.
Do you have people still searching the woods and creeks and fields?
There's still people out looking, but it has been scaled back. I mean, just put it that way.
Are the bodies of the two individuals recovered, are those of young female children?
I'm not at liberty to give that information out as of this time.
Who found them?
I'm not going to say at this point in time.
Why do you believe that there is foul play?
Just the way the bodies were found. That's about all I can say at this point in time.
Were they in the water?
They were on the edge of the water, from what I understand. That's about the best I can tell you.
5 years later, those same questions remain unanswered. State police have been unwilling to provide information on the cause or manner of their deaths. Kelsey German remembers in a Dr. Phil segment the moment when her sister's body was found.
We heard them yell up the hill that they'd found them. One of my family members fell to the ground, and he was crying. I didn't know what to think.
I kept asking them to let me go there. They wouldn't let me.
Coming up, you'll hear from a homicide expert, a 30-year veteran of murder investigations, on what police do to try and make sure they solve cases and make killers pay.
And you need the public. You need them desperately, because they're the only ones who can bring information to you that can solve this case. So you really need
the... And why the people investigating the Delphi murders are staying quiet.
We really don't want to comment on that at this point in time. We don't really want to put out too much information at this point in time.
Plus, the tips and information that have led state police to several people, even to arrest some of them, and then led them away again. You're listening to the Delphi Murders 5 years later. The night of February 13th, 2017, there was no Amber Alert for Abby Williams and Libby German. But there was a massive search near where they went missing.
There's certain criteria. If you go into the Amber Alert information webpage, it gives you different criteria that they have to meet to make an Amber Alert even be eligible for an Amber Alert.
You're listening to the Delphi Murders 5 years later.
And there was criteria that was not met, and even if we would have put an Amber Alert out, it would not have done this case any good.
Indiana State Police Sergeant Kim Riley.
In the short period of time and the location that the bodies were found, it would not have helped us in finding any leads on this at all.
It was around noon on February 14th that both girls' bodies were found not far from the bank of Deer Creek, about three-quarters of a mile from where they'd been dropped off the day before. Only a tight-knit group of people know about the nature of their murders. State police and Carroll County deputies have kept that information close to the vest.
Can you talk about why you guys believe foul play is suspected in this case?
Just the way the crime scene... The evidence that is there at this point in time, that's really all I can say.
Retired Indianapolis Metro Police Captain Robert Snow is a 30-year homicide detective. He's the author of two books on cold cases, Killers in the Family and Slaughter on North LaSalle. He has no firsthand knowledge of the Delphi murders, but is an authority on homicide investigations and cold cases.
The first step in evidence gathering is the crime scene. You got to comb the crime scene completely. Find every single thing you can find. Don't miss a thing. The slightest thing sometimes can turn out to be a major clue. So the first thing you do naturally is work the crime scene. and trying to recover everything you can.
Is it unusual for the FBI to be involved? They were contacted almost immediately, it seems.
What they call their ERT team, which is a evidence recovery team that departments do use, and they make it available to the local and state agencies to come out, and they help in collecting evidence at the scene.
The next, you do the bodies. Now, they're going to, then actually they go to the coroner for an autopsy. A lot of times, a murder victim's body can tell you a lot.
Why was the autopsy in Terre Haute?
There's not many places that actually can do the work that can be done at Terre Haute, and that's just basically the closest location. That's why it was picked.
Yeah, Brad, the perpetrator could leave hair, he'd leave, saliva, you can even take fingerprints off of a murder victim's body. So the next thing is work the body.
At that point, on February 17th, state police had not yet made a positive identification. And even though it was obvious that the bodies found belonged to the girls, all of the troopers involved in the business of relaying information to the public were being intentionally vague, even about potential threats to the public.
Well, it's like we said yesterday. I mean, you've got to understand that we have two bodies that we have found that seem to be we have a crime that has been committed. It's one of those things where you just got to use your own thoughts and mind on what you can feel is important to you. And I think people need to be cautious and careful. And be parents and just make sure they know where their children are at, what their children are doing, and if nothing else, know what's going on in their lives. And that's the most important thing I can say at this point in time.
That nervousness and caution and even fear were almost contagious.
I think it's terrible. It makes me sick to my stomach. It made me feel kind of sick going down to the bridge thinking one of my friends died down there.
You call it victimology. In other words, you look at how the victim came in contact with the perpetrator. One of the things I'd have done if I'd had this case is I'd want to check the computer histories of both these young ladies, see who they've been talking to.
We're checking the cell phones. We're checking your social media places, Twitter, Facebook, and that, to see if there's some type of connection there. We're looking at every possible option.
The last Snapchat photo taken by Libby German was taken at 2:07. That was discovered by police who were going through the girls' accounts. Just 1 hour later, at the pickup time, is when the girls were determined to be missing.
The two girls' family this morning, kind of talk about their state right now.
We have had detectives that have been talking to them, and also some of the clergy here locally have also been assisting in talking to the family.
Next, after that, I'd want to talk to their friends. Have they talked about somebody new in their life, somebody new they've just met or they're going to meet type thing? And then after that, try hope for informants. Every good detective has a number of informants that can tell them sometimes what really happened in the world.
The bodies were sent to Terre Haute, where a coroner identified them as the two girls that went missing while hiking Monday afternoon. 14-year-old Liberty German and 13-year-old Abigail Williams were found dead along Deer Creek near Delphi, about a half mile from the Monon High Bridge.
This is considered a double homicide investigation.
State police have not made any arrests and ask anybody who may know anything in the case to come forward.
Identifying the bodies took a couple of days. The police did not say why.
Bodies have been positively identified as Abigail J. Williams, 13, of the Delphi area, and Liberty Rose Lynn German, 14, of the Delphi area. I can't say there's not a threat to the community. I'm not going to say that there's, we have not caught the person yet, so is the person still in the community? We don't know.
On February 15th, state police and the sheriff's department released a photo to the public. It showed a man walking on the bridge. He was dressed in blue, and the photo was somewhat blurry. State police said at the time that they wanted to talk to the man in the picture, wanting to know what he may have seen. Becky German discussed the picture when she appeared on the Dr. Phil show.
It's your theory that this is likely the killer.
Absolutely.
Have they been able to high-res this picture and get a better image of the face and all than what we have here?
This is as good as it gets. When I say that the FBI has said, we've had a lot of people working, NASA, Disney, you name it, we've worked on it, we've tried. this is the best we can do, because everybody assumes that we can't.
At the end of the day, on February 15th, the crime was more than 48 hours old. Captain Robert Snow, homicide expert, says just like you hear on TV, it is tougher to solve a murder if it's not done within the first couple of days.
It's not impossible. It's still tougher. Yeah, it's tougher, right, but it's not impossible. We've saw our cold case unit at the police and police department solve several every year.
Snow has no firsthand knowledge of the Delphi murders, but is an authority on homicide investigations.
So, it is more difficult if you don't get them right away, but it's not impossible. You still can catch the person. But again, as I said before, you need the public's help.
Snow talks about why he believes it's particularly important that people have some knowledge of the case.
You need those other people. You don't know who's heard what, or just know something that they don't actually feel is relevant right now until they hear the facts of the case. And then you realize, oh, hey, this might be the guy who did that type thing.
A week went by, a week of remembrances and vigils.
I can't express it. It just fills my heart, because that's what small communities do. It's family, and you reach out to one another.
1 week after the release of the picture, a piece of audio was provided by police from Liberty German's phone. The audio is ominous and even haunting. Police believe you're hearing the voice of a killer.
Is it a family member? Is it a neighbor? Is it an acquaintance? Is it an associate? Or maybe that one guy that lives over at that one place that just... kind of not right.
A 14-year-old murder victim had the presence of mind to put her cell phone in record mode. This is the voice of the man police believe to be the killer of Libby German and 13-year-old Abby Williams on a hiking trail in Carroll County. If you have any idea who that might be, State Police Captain Dave Burston says investigators want to hear from you.
If you hear this and you think, my God, that sounds like fill in the blank, call us, and you could be the person that helps us to solve this horrible crime.
Words tend to escape during these periods of times, and I've only had a couple of other situations in my lifetime where I'm able to stand before you and say that. Someone knows who this individual is.
State Police Superintendent Doug Carter.
Who's next? I hate to ask you that question. I'd give my life to not have to.
Coming up.
My son's been following it. We've been following it. We hope to find the killer. And with every dollar, that just might get us that much closer, I believe.
Frustration because a killer is still on the loose.
They're kind of used to TV and movies where... you know, you got an hour show, and by the end of the hour, they've caught the person.
You're listening to The Delphi Murders, 5 years later.
To have enough presence of mind to activate the video system on her cell phone to record what we believe is criminal behavior that is about to occur, there's no doubt in our minds that that young lady is a hero.
You're listening to The Delphi Murders, 5 years later.
It came from the investigation itself, the tips and leads that come in.
It wasn't long after the murders of Abigail Williams and Liberty German that tips started coming in.
That people that have come forward, we've got information from there, and the composite was put together with that information.
On July 17th, 6 months after the murders, state police provided a composite sketch of the man they believed was either the killer or someone they wanted to talk to.
This sketch is the result of continuing tips coming in. And the sketch is all there is. The investigation continues.
We feel this is very important because it actually gives a better view. It shows a little more facial features, gives you a little more information on what we're looking at.
The sketch came not only from tips, but from witnesses who were on the trail that day. Once the sketch was made public, the tips picked up, and extra staff had to be brought in to take the tips and to go through them.
I want this picture to be spread far and wide, and somebody out there should, again, aid in bringing the person that's responsible for this to justice.
Mike and Becky Patty, Libby German's grandparents.
We were quite surprised at how detailed this picture was. It looks like a picture. I'm sure there's enough there for somebody to identify this guy.
And Anna Williams, Abigail Williams' mother.
What we're asking for is for people to keep praying and to keep believing
that God's got this.
Though tips were coming in, and each one proved not to lead to the killer, state police had not yet provided any info on the murders.
I don't care how long it takes to get the person responsible. Putting out the best possible information is the right way to go.
The state police won't talk to reporters. I'm not sure what the reason for that is, but, you know, again, I'm not privy to the inside of the case, but that's a little, makes it hard for the public to know what's going on.
Retired Captain Robert Snow, a 30-year veteran of the Indianapolis Metro Police Department. He has no firsthand knowledge of the Delphi murders, but is an authority on murder investigations.
And you really, in any homicide investigation, you need the public. You need them desperately because they're the only ones who can bring information to you that can solve this case. So you really need to keep the public informed. But so far, the state police haven't really given out very many details at all.
That's why there is no news conference. What we have in that news release and the sketch continues to go on. What we're looking to and hoping for media to do is to help promote it far and wide, to let as many eyes as possible see that.
Really, it's not necessary for the public to know how someone was murdered or killed necessarily, only that the crime, in fact, occurred.
Stoney Van is a retired detective. He was with Indiana State Police for nearly 20 years. He contends that only having some facts can be enough to stimulate tips, and maybe the right one.
There are certain things we do know. We know it was two little girls, that they were murdered, and it was by allegedly this individual, this male individual walking on those tracks. As far as the public is concerned and law enforcement is concerned, that's all that is really necessary, is that they know the girls are dead. All the law enforcement is asking is help us find this individual.
Both men say law enforcement almost always leave out some info about murders when talking with news media.
False confessions happen often in cold cases. For one reason or another, there are some individuals, it could be mental issues, or it could be other issues. It could be notoriety. It could be just wanting to be infamous for some reason. But there's reasons why individuals do falsely confess to crimes they did not commit.
You want to keep a couple of facts to yourself, only because you'll have sometimes a couple dozen people come in and want to admit to their crime. And they follow this story from the start to the finish. They know, they come in and talk and they act like they know about the crime. They know about the crime scene and they know about everything that happened. But they won't know these facts. And that's how you weed out these kind of people.
They will research it, and they can become very informed, especially in a cold case that gets 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And if not much information is withheld from the public, they can speak very informed to the case, and they can really get the attention of the public, the news, and the police.
Your public needs to at least have some information who this person might be or what a possible description or possible anything. The more information the public has, the better chance that you're going to catch this person, the better chance that somebody will come up with a tip that to tell you who this person is. Now, again, like I said, you have to hold something back. You always do, because to weed out false confessions. But you still need to release enough information that the public can help you, because then you have millions and millions of eyes looking for you.
Police investigated several people, even serving warrants. Daniel Nations, a sex offender from Indiana, was arrested in Colorado for threatening to hurt people on a mountain trail. State police soon decided he wasn't a suspect. Ronald Logan, the man who owned the property where the girls' bodies were found, had a history of trouble with the law, but his alibi checked out. In January 2018, Nicholas McLeland took over as Carroll County prosecutor. That meant his office would be responsible for prosecuting the case should someone be caught. By the first anniversary of the crime, there had been no arrest.
I don't know what you expected today.
Indiana State Police Superintendent Doug Carter.
I came to plead and implore you to keep this out front and center. I said before, and I'm confident I'll say again, I hope that one day when we all meet Abby and Libby, that they tell us you did well. That's my hope. We cannot allow evil to prevail. Our world is completely out of balance. and we cannot allow that to prevail.
The first anniversary news conference was held on the Monon Trail, not far from where the murders happened.
People have oftentimes asked me, why is this so personal to you? It's personal to me because those two young girls were everybody's daughter. In this beautiful place that represents the very best of humanity. And look what happened. That's why it's very personal to me. And I just hope that one day I can look into the eyes of a murderer and ask him why.
Yeah, I doubt very much this suspect's very first crime. These people usually follow a pattern. The serial killers like us will follow a pattern, and they'll do it often all over the country. They'll travel from one spot to another to find victims.
Retired homicide captain Robert Snow, again, with no firsthand knowledge of the Delphi murders.
Again, I would want to be looking at other serial murderers. Sometimes you have a serial murderer and they're striking every 3 or 4 months, and then they'll stop for a year or a couple years, which I often find. Is there in prison for another crime type thing? So that's the things you have to look for. Are there other serial murderers who fit this description? Who fit this type of crime? Where are they? Are they presently in prison? Can you find them? Can you talk to them?
The well-meaning public, they really do try to help, especially on a case that has a lot of notoriety, such as the Delphi involving children.
Retired Detective Stoney Van, who retired right at the beginning of the Delphi investigation, but was around to take some tips from his Indianapolis Post.
Many tips from Delphi came to the Indianapolis Post. Hundreds of them did. Well, they're time-consuming. You only have a handful of detectives to distribute those to, and you're giving them to detectives and troopers on the road that are following up on those, and that's not their only job. They have other things that they're doing during the day and during the week, so they're fitting these in as quickly and expeditiously as possible. But they do take time.
Van says 98% of the tips that come in any investigation can be eliminated by checking alibis and employment records, calling friends or family, and some are just obviously frivolous. Still, state police spent the next 4 years asking for those tips. They got a fresh infusion once they released a new sketch that looked quite dissimilar to the first one, along with extended audio from Libby German's phone. And a video of the person previously seen on the bridge.
The video shows a suspect walking on the bridge. When you see the video, watch the person's mannerisms as they walk.
But would it be enough to generate that one breakthrough tip?
We likely have interviewed you or someone close to you. We know that this is about power to you, and you want to know what we know. And one day, you will.
You're listening to the Delphi Murders, 5 years later.
I believe we're one piece of the puzzle away from figuring out who this individual is. Then the real work begins.
Well, the problem is people are kind of, I don't know, they're kind of used to TV and movies where, you got an hour show, and by the end of the hour, they've caught the person. They've run through and caught the person.
You're listening to the Delphi Murders, 5 years later.
And so a lot of people expect the police to be like the TV shows, and well, we just jump on this murder, and within the hour, end of the hour drama, we've got them in handcuffs on the way to jail. But that's not the way real life works. A lot of murder cases are much more difficult than that.
So I hope you hear me loud and clear.
1 year after the murders.
If you're watching this, and you're responsible, today may be your day. It might be tomorrow, but I can guarantee you your day's coming.
5 years after the murders.
Today could be the day. Sleep well. Today could be the day. Maybe it's tomorrow.
State Police Superintendent Doug Carter on Wish TV.
Wish we could tell people and literally the world what we know. And one day we'll be able to, but today's not that day.
State police are either unable or unwilling to discuss any more than they discussed 1 year after the murders.
Do you believe that your investigators have interviewed this person?
I'm not going to go there. I don't think it'd be proper for me to do that. But I do think that the killer will be watching this interview. I certainly hope that by the time that my run here ends, that there's an arrest made. I think it'll be before that. And that's all.
When contacted about this documentary, state police sent back an email saying they politely declined an interview.
Well, there may be the person's DNA is not on file. That's possible. That is possible. The person's DNA is not on file. They've never been arrested for a serious crime, or they haven't taken part in one of these, you know, want to search who your relatives are type thing. Your DNA won't be on file.
You will hear no speculation or conjecture about the murders or the investigation or suspects in this documentary. But you will hear the experts talking about why the case is unusual and what happens typically during murder investigations. Retired Indianapolis Metro Police Captain Robert Snow has written two books on cold cases and spent 30 years as a homicide investigator and expert.
Now, what they'll have to do is wait till this person is arrested for serious crime. That happens more often than you think. A person, an old crimes can be attached to people. They get arrested for a serious felony and they have their DNA taken. And all of a sudden it pops up, whoops, this is a DNA in three murders back in Illinois or wherever type thing. So that does happen. They also have a lot of cold cases through AFIS, the Automated Fingerprint Identification System.
It should be noted that state police do not consider the Delphi murders a cold case. That would mean that there's no more evidence to go through. State police say they are still getting tips and are still investigating clues. Snow says he believes that cases like Delphi illustrate the need to make taking a DNA swab of arrestees, not just convicts, a standard.
Why not? You have to give up your fingerprints. You have to give up a photo of yourself. I don't understand what's the difference. You have to give up your fingerprints. Nobody's ever complained about that. And you have to give up a photo of yourself, front and profile. What's the difference? It's not like they're taking your blood or something or stick your needle. They just take a swab under your inside your cheek. So it's not that invasive type of thing.
There can be many reasons why it would take 2 years or longer to solve the case.
Stoney Van is a retired homicide detective who worked with Indiana State Police for nearly 20 years.
It could be that all of the leads that the evidence presented at the crime scene have been exhausted, and they're waiting for additional leads to come forward to connect the dots or put the pieces of the puzzle together, and that can take a long time period. Or it could be that the evidence is very voluminous and they have a lot of evidence. It could be DNA, fingerprints, or other trace evidence that you don't have anyone to link it to.
We want people to know this is not a cold case. This case is not closed. We are not done with this investigation. There are countless people working on this every day.
In the years since the murders, you've been asked time and again to send in tips.
I'm confident that we're going to get it solved, and I'm confident that I have the dedication of everybody standing behind me and everybody you don't see here today, that they're going to work and dedicate their lives to this until we get it solved.
Nick McClelland took over as Carroll County prosecutor in 2018. An email to his office requesting an interview for this program went unanswered.
Nothing is going to be considered a dumb tip or a tip that we don't want. Information is our main weapon here.
The person in the picture was young and trim and good looking. The name on the account was Anthony Schatz. State police say the account was a fake. Kurt Darling explains.
You may know what catfishing is, where someone creates a fake social media profile using fake images and lies about who they are. It's used in dating and can be used for crime. State police want to know who was behind the Snapchat and Instagram profile Anthony Schatz.
The fictitious Anthony Schatz profile used images of a known male model and portrayed himself as being extremely wealthy and owning numerous sports cars.
And Sergeant Jeremy Pierce says the person tried to get pictures of young girls and meet up with them. Whether Abby Williams and Libby German fell victim to this is not clear, but detectives need you to get in touch if you ever had any contact with the Anthony Schatz profile.
The information on Anthony Schatz came out in early December 2021 and was some of the first new information that may or may not pertain to the Delphi murders in years. It was soon revealed that state police knew who was behind the Anthony Schatz account. His name was Kagan Klein, and he had been interviewed by state police just days after the murders of Abby Williams and Libby German. Police did not talk about the nature of the interview. He was arrested 3 years later, and in 2022 was facing child pornography charges, having admitted to police that he used the fake account to collect more than 100 nude pics of underage girls. But state police did not connect him to the Delphi murders. at least not outright and not publicly. But they have asked for info from women or girls who were catfished by the account, something Captain Snow says is common with creeps.
Predators will get onto the internet with a fake image of being someone usually young, the same age as their potential victims, and start a conversation and pretend they're 16, 15, and they want, you know, make themselves interesting enough to get the person to come meet them.
State Police Superintendent Doug Carter was asked in his February 2022 Wish TV interview why the man behind Anthony's shots wasn't arrested until years after the first interview.
I will just simply say that we have gleaned a tremendous amount of information over 5 years, and we would, if there was any meaningful reason to talk about it or act on it, we would have.
Because not much is known about the nature of the murders, determining what kind of person is capable of such a crime is tough, at least for the guessing public. Captain Snow says it's likely, though, that a child killer is a sociopath.
They think only of themselves, only their pleasure, only their happiness and concern.
He says such a person is narcissistic in the truest sense of the word.
To them, the victims are not real. They're just instruments to use to get their pleasure. They don't really have a conscience. Most sociopaths don't have a conscience. They don't feel bad about killing someone, raping someone, or mutilating someone. They really don't. They have no conscience and no bad feelings. That's why they keep doing it.
He says oftentimes with sociopaths or serial murderers, there's a sexual component to the crime.
They may not rape or molest the victim, but there's still a sexual component. They derive a sort of sexual pleasure out of killing people. And quite often, they'll take with them a souvenir from the crime scene. And they keep these souvenirs to remind them of the crime itself.
For the community of Delphi in Carroll County, 5 years has been a long time. Retired Detective Stoney Van says 5 years waiting may be excruciating to the people involved, but sometimes that's the way cases go down.
That is not uncommon. That's not preferable for law enforcement or the victim's family for it to take that long, because every day can seem like an eternity when you're dealing with a case like that. But the reality is it oftentimes can take that longer.
If you know the voice here, or if you have a tip that could help solve the Delphi murders, you are asked to email Abby and Libby Tip at cacoshrf.com or call 765-822-3535. Remember to be as specific as possible and give as much information as you can. Until the person is caught, you are asked not to share picture comparisons, sketches, or theories on social media.
There's hope that if there is evidence that's there, they will eventually be able to link it to a suspect by some means or another.
You've been listening to The Delphi Murders, 5 Years Later, written and produced by Chris Davis.